So with time, I started realizing that the soldiers were not going to be there for a matter of weeks or months. It just became more and more frustrating. I don't think I understood the meaning of the soldiers being in my house until I actually grew up.
That's the voice of Yusuf Bashir. He was 11 years old when Israeli soldiers took over his home in Gaza. His family's house was right near an Israeli settlement, and the military transformed it into a sentry post. But Bashir's father refused to leave, out of fear he would lose his house and his land for good. The Israelis would stay in the Bashir home for 5 years. Today, the situation between Gaza and Israel remains tense. This past week, an Iranian-backed armed faction has fired dozens of rockets from Gaza into Israel, which has responded with airstrikes. Palestinian leader Mahmoud Abbas meets with President Obama at the White House tomorrow in an attempt to move forward with peace talks that have been stalled for years. Back in 2004, when Yusuf Bashir was 15 years old, UN officials paid his family a visit to check on their situation. Bashir was with his father in the front yard seeing the officials off when he was shot in the back. Yusuf says the Israeli Defense Forces later apologized to his family and suspended the soldier. Yusuf Bashir is this week's Sunday Conversation.
I remember exactly a beautiful afternoon, blue sky, clear air, and as soon as I wave goodbye, I hear something, and I felt that I was no longer able to move or even talk. It felt like it took me hours to get my dad's attention to look at me and realize that I just got shot. He quickly carried me and put me in the UN car. And I remember the driver saying, "What happened? Why did they shoot him?" And my dad and my nemesis at the time, for not letting me go live with my grandmother, kept on holding my eyelashes and saying that you're going to be okay. And I started saying, "I'm sorry about my math grades and my English, and if I come back, I will take it seriously." And I literally thought that I was dying because everything within me and around me started to change and felt like the world was slowing down on me.
You were taken care of at a hospital in Tel Aviv. What was your experience like there? When did you realize the extent of your injuries, and what was the relationship like with your caretakers?
I woke up in Tel Aviv, and to me that was kind of a shocking surprise, because my entire life, or really just weeks before, I'm used to the people who come from Israel with guns, and they were the people I needed to ask for permission to open my television or go to the bathroom. But now they are surrounding me, playing with my hair, asking me how I'm doing, and I look at my father standing in the corner, and he shakes his head and says in Arabic that they were going to save my life. And eventually that's what they did. There, it was a life-changing experience. It taught me how to understand my father's passion for coexistence and the meaning when he used to say that we are all the sons of Abraham.
When the Israelis finally pulled out of Gaza in 2005 and left your family's home, your father was actually interviewed on NPR, and he had this to say. Let's take a listen.
"In spite of everything, it is not time to gloating over another's grief. It is time for tolerance. I do wish the Israelis the best of good luck. I do wish to build a new cooperative, healthy relations with them."
It obviously must have been so hard for you when you were growing up, living in this prison, essentially, that in part you blamed your dad for creating. But as time passed, what kind of influence did his attitude have on you?
Well, it's great to finally hear his voice again. His impact began pretty much since he didn't allow me to leave the house. And when I was paralyzed at the hospital, he told me that I was going to turn my pain into something positive. I was not going to let the bullet define how I live my life and my future. And that is what I am doing today. It took me some time to believe in his values, and it had to happen the hard way. But in the end, I feel very privileged that I am his son, especially since he left my world in 2009 and passed away. I became even more committed to his message because he believed so much that one day the Palestinian people will live in peace and dignity. But that will mean that everyone, including their neighbors, will be satisfied and will live in peace and dignity as well.
Yusuf Bashir, he's studying for a master's degree in peace, conflict, and coexistence at Brandeis University. He hopes one day he'll return home and work as a diplomat.